Hello, Shelter Rock Church. Pastor Steve Tomlinson here. It's great to be with you. I am standing in a place of great significance. It's actually in my neighborhood in Manhasset. But it was only 3 weeks ago I learned of the significance of this very location. You see, it was 60 years ago on this very spot that a Nassau County police officer was gunned down in the line of duty. In my capacity as chaplain for the Manhasset Lakeville Fire Department, I was asked to be a part of the ceremony commemorating this event. It was much bigger than I realized. The county executive was there. The Nassau County Police Commissioner was there. About 200 firemen and policemen were all gathered on this very spot to remember. I remember as the movie The Matrix, in which Morpheus says to Neo, "Do you realize that there's something wrong with the world? And it sits in your mind like a splinter." Those 3 weeks ago when I was officiating at this event reminded me that there is something wrong with this world. And this world needs hope. Well, we're starting a brand new series. We began it on Easter Sunday morning called Hope is Alive. And today we are looking at the hope of the gospel itself. Because when we look at the brokenness of this world, we need a word from the Lord that says there is a reason to press on. There's something wrong with the world. I'm standing in front of a house that just about 2 months ago, 40 gunshots were fired into this home. Now, why that's significant to me is because I grew up two blocks from this house. This street I have traveled on hundreds of times, and yet this happened. Something is not right. There's something wrong with the world. Here we are, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, and there's a food pantry with hundreds of people who line up to get groceries to feed their family. Why would something like that be still? But then I pause and then I realize, now hold on, this food pantry is here because the gospel of Jesus Christ has entered people's lives and they're making choices to show compassion one to another. God's salvation is being made known in a very practical way. So I realize it is the impact of the gospel transforming somebody's life that is leading to real change. I met Pastor J.O. back in 2007. He was born in Korea. I was born on Long Island. How unlikely it is that we would meet except because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Placed our two lives together to the point that he's one of my best friends and we share a meal almost every week. I met my brother Edgar Meeks a number of years ago now, and what we first connected over was the fact that he is so proud of his family legacy in relation to church ministry. His grandfather was a pastor in Texarkana, and I was so proud of my family legacy. My great-grandfather helped to found a Pentecostal denomination called the Church of God Cleveland, and we would love and continue to love to talk about our family history. In fact, one of the things I've come to appreciate about Edgar is he even wrote a book about somebody that influenced him so much in ministry. In fact, if you want to look at that book, it's edgarmeeks.com. But in the end, it is the gospel that brought Edgar and I together, in which we are friends. I'm sitting here with Mary Lilia, and she is another example how the gospel transforms everything. Now, if you're wondering if I'm sitting too close, she's vaccinated and so am I. And so we can sit close again, Mary. But the reason we know each other and love each other is because of what Christ has done for both of us. We both love the scripture. We both love the word of God. And because of that, the gospel has brought us together. I'm 60. Mary's 90. But the gospel crosses all boundaries. So it all comes down to the gospel, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The Apostle Paul, probably while he was in Corinth, maybe the mid-50s AD. He's in a city of decadence and people just taking advantage of things wherever they go. And in that city, he pens a letter to the church at Rome. Now, it's in this verse that we're going to look at, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that Paul gives that what many scholars feel is his proposition statement, his thesis statement for the book of Romans, his theologically articulate work. And we want to drop in at this verse. So here it is, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I read these words. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. What is the gospel that Paul says that he's not ashamed of? I really appreciate Pastor Nathan in coming up with a beautiful definition. Now, in its simplest terms, the gospel is good news, but it's more than that. What is it good news about? Here's what Pastor Nathan writes. God's sovereign message concerning Jesus the Messiah, God's unique Son. Jesus is the manifestation of God's power to defeat the dark powers, reclaim and restore the cosmos, and rescue all of creation. Now, you might be wondering, where am I preaching from? I'm actually on the roof of our Syosset campus. But there's a reason I'm on this roof. It is because behind me is a steeple. It is our public proclamation of the gospel. The highest point of this church with a cross on top of it saying there is good news for humanity. Now, for those of you who have been to the Syosset campus, you've seen it's a beautiful building. Originally, the first part of the building was built in the 1960s. But over the years, there were improvements here and there. And finally, we rebuilt the entire building, and that was completed in 2014. But there was one piece of this building that was untouched. It has remained consistent from the very, very beginning. And that is a steeple with the cross on top of it, with the symbol of the gospel. You see, if you went back to this church back in the 60s, people were dressed differently. They sang some different songs. You noticed that the demographic was a little different. And as time has moved on, lots of things have changed, but one thing has remained the same, the gospel. That there is hope through no other name other than Jesus Christ, and we are proclaiming that name. So what we want to do is break down this verse, and as Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And then the first thing he says, for it is the power of God. Power. What does that mean? Very simply, we're talking a Greek word, dunamis. And there's been lots of ink spilt on the meaning of dunamis. But if you just look at your concordance and follow this word throughout the New Testament, you know what you find? It means healing power. It means transformational power. An example of the word being used is, remember the woman who was bleeding for 12 years? And she wants to be healed. And she sneaks through a crowd to reach out her hand to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus stops. And he says, dunamis, power has gone out of me. But we see that transformational power in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church. The greatest power of all, though, that Paul is emphasizing, the power to save sinners like you and me and to transform us into instruments of God's power to the world around us. Which brings me to the next word. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus because it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation. What does that mean? Let me read what I wrote down here because I think this captures it best. It is the result of life-giving and right-making power of God. It refers to the restoration of the image of God, the new creation that results from God's transformative work. I have found that too often we think of salvation only as a noun. I am saved. And this is correct. In fact, we've just been going through the series, Nothing But the Blood. And we learned so many aspects about our personal salvation. We can now answer somebody who might ask us, what does propitiation mean? Or sacrifice of atonement? What does it mean that Jesus is the mercy seat? Or that he brings us peace with God? But it is much more than a noun. Do you realize that salvation, the gospel, is also a verb? Let me give you an example of where it shows up as a verb from the words of Jesus. Now, Jesus was going to his hometown of Nazareth, and he tells us about the good news. I'm going to drop into the text in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I read this. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim," here it comes, "good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." Here we see a beautiful example. Salvation is not just about me having right standing with God the Father. No, it's me, the transformed person, now bringing God's salvation to the world around us. That's what Jesus was doing. And that's why I love being a part of a church like Shelter Rock Church. Because in any given week, you might find Craig Miller, one of our elders, helping at Juvenile Hall in Nassau County. He's bringing the gospel to prison young people. And you might on another day find Barbara Costello packing her bags. Why? She's going down to Honduras, where she has opened up a facility to provide humanitarian aid and the gospel, the good news of Jesus. On any other given day, you'll find a number of people from our church helping out at Restore NYC. What is their goal? To see human trafficking end in our time and in our communities. And I can go on and on and on. That is the power of transformation that comes from salvation based in the gospel. I've always enjoyed a quote from a woman whose husband was a pretty famous professor. But she was a homemaker, and she was really tiring of people talking to her in a condescending way because she was a homemaker, as if she was wasting her time. And she'd be at some kind of cocktail party, and someone would very, in a patronizing way, say, "My dear, how do you spend all your free time?" And she would answer them, "I am raising two homo sapiens in the dominant traditions of the Judeo-Christian ethic in order to impart upon them a worldview to bring life change for generations to come." "Why, what do you do?" "Well, they would all be silent." But I love that attitude. You see, I don't just want my kids to meet Jesus and be saved. I want them to bring transformation to a generation that I will never see. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then he goes on, "For everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentile." Did you catch that phrase? For everyone who believes. The gospel is inclusive. It is inclusive. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is reaching out to everyone. Now, you might be confused by that statement, "to the Jew first and then to the Gentile." But that is when Jesus came, he first delivered his message to the Jewish community. But there is a time, and scholars believe they can even put their finger on it, when Jesus turns his sights on the entire world. The passage is found in John chapter 12. And some disciples come to Jesus and say to him, "Some Greeks want to speak to you." And as if a switch goes off in our Lord, we read this in verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come, the Son of Man to be glorified." It's as if at that moment he knew he's heading to the cross to bring salvation, not just to the Jewish community, although they were exposed to the gospel first, but now to all of the world, because the gospel is for everyone. You know, the Pew Research Organization has done studies of churches that are growing. They just released a study, fascinating. It's that the churches that tend to be growing the fastest and are the most stable are also the churches that are the most inclusive. I mean, it's one of the reasons why Pastor Henry was attracted to come to Shelter Rock Church. It's why I've always loved this church. Is when I look out at our congregation, I see a sample of what will be present at the throne room of God when we all stand before our Lord. We want to be a church that has diversity in color, in socioeconomic background, because that's what the gospel is all about. And we always want to be moving in that direction. So I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. It is salvation. It is inclusive. But here's where we're going to wrap up. It is for everyone who believes. What do you believe? When I ask that question, I think many people might say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, shed his blood that I might have a right relationship with God the Father, and one day go to be with him in heaven. Great. I believe that too. I think that is the first thing that we need to believe about the gospel. But it is more than that. Do you believe, like Jesus, that the gospel is a verb? And that the gospel can bring transformation, get this, for your marriage, for your son or daughter, for your neighbor, for the people who work with you at your job, for people that you interact with all over the place? Because the gospel is doing that everywhere. You know, there's a beautiful story that I just heard this week from Pastor Jack at the Syosset Easter Message. And so I got permission from Rich Cutler to tell you the story to our online community, because you probably didn't hear Pastor Jack's message. So one of our attenders at the Syosset campus, Rich Cutler, he feels the Holy Spirit tell him to connect with a friend that he has not seen in 5 years. He's a childhood friend that he's known since age 12. And because of this person's lifestyle, medical situation, all kinds of things, he was in pretty great need. And so he tells him, well, I want to come visit you in February. And the friend says, oh, don't come. It's too cold. Come another time. So Rich proactively decides to book a reservation because he feels the Holy Spirit is telling him to do this. And Rich then connects with friends, prayer warriors, who know he's going down to minister to this guy. His name is Matt. We share this story with his permission. He tells Matt, I'm coming down. Matt says, no, come down. Come another time. Come in the summer. No, I'm coming down. When he gets there, what he saw was that Matt was in a very dark place. His apartment was in disarray, and he wanted to give Matt a vacation, but he realized what he really needed to do was just care for his apartment, clean things up. And during these few days that he's down, they're interacting. Matt's making some comments about all the Christian music that Rich is listening to. At one point, Rich was listening to a local preacher, and Matt was like trying to make heads or tails of, what is this guy doing while he's here? But on the last day that Rich was there, Matt, who's riddled with pain and cannot move easily, decides he wants to get a cigarette. He goes outside of the house, and as he's smoking a cigarette, he says, God, if you're really there, will you take my pain away? Will you take my pain away? At that moment, he said he felt like there was this waterfall flowing over him. And he comes back in the house, and Rich recognizes something dramatic is happening to his friend Matt. And he grabs his camera. Now, I want you to see this, because you're going to see a man who is riddled with pain celebrating that he has now made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior. Watch this clip.
So, Tim, I was telling Rich how great I feel this morning. Like, I'm not in pain because he sees me every day. Like, he knows how much pain I'm in every day. Yeah. But now I've been touched by our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. When have I ever said that? When has those words ever come out of my mouth? But check it out, because of all the help and prayers of all your friends around the world,
you're going to need more surgery to this.
The gospel, it is transformational. And the truth is, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Greek. You know, when I first began my ministry here at Shelter Rock Church, I showed a video clip to the staff. It was from the movie The Untouchables. It's a story of Elliot Ness getting Al Capone. But there's a scene I love in this movie. It is when Sean Connery's character is dying, and he says in this Scottish accent, grabbing Elliot Ness by the shirt, as he's dying, he says, "What are you prepared to do?" And Elliot Ness knows what he means. Are you willing to take the steps that belief will really make a difference? Do you believe that the gospel could change your home? Do you believe that the gospel can transform your family, your workplace, your community? Friends, will you join me in not being ashamed of the gospel? And this cross behind me, may it forever be a symbol and a proclamation that Shelter Rock Church believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join me as we seek to see what God can do when His people are unleashed with the power of the gospel. Father, thank you for this time we've had to spend these few moments looking at Paul's declarative statement of not being ashamed of the gospel. May we now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, move forward believing in faith that transformation of not just my life, but for the lives around me is waiting just around the corner as we have faith, as we believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.